Praying for mercy with nowhere to hide. There was a soulless searching for me. Grace ever flowing that set my soul free.
Preacher, Brother Angel, is one of our favorite pastors. And Faith Baptist Church is one of our favorite churches. It seems like just yesterday, but 1983, I was, I believe, in my last year at Hal Anderson College, and Dr. Paulson, the mission instructor at the time, brought, he and several of our students came here for your missions conference. How many of you were here in 1983? Go, tremendous. And we were getting ready to begin deputation, and I was working at Associated Air in Lansing, Illinois, getting ready to leave my job, and I was really looking for somebody that could take my place as a mechanic and service manager at the mechanic shop. And Mrs. Griffin, she disappeared. Wherever she's at, she said to me, I think there's somebody in our church that's unemployed and is an aircraft mechanic. And that's how I met Greg Payne. And then he took my place there and I guess worked there for about 18 years and helped me with our aviation ministry with parts and various needs that we had. And we spent many a late night together. And I miss those late nights, Greg. I do. I know you don't. But, so many memories come through our mind here at Faith Baptist Church. And so we do love you folks. We appreciate you. And this is just a special night in the life of myself and my entire family. The population of Chicago is about 2.5 times larger than the entire population in the province we're in of Manitoba. Our province is about 900 miles from north to south and 300 to 400 miles wide. And Chicago is the population about 2.5 times the size of our entire Providence. And then the population of California is about 37 million people. There's about 32 million people in the entire country of Canada. 90% of those live within 100 miles of the U.S.-Canadian border, meaning we work with 10% of the population of Canada. And that's one of the great challenges we face, is God's not called us to a city of 30 million people. Recently in a missions conference, the missionary going to Tokyo, Japan, talked about the 30 million people that God called him to, and my job was to get up next and talk to about the handfuls of people God has called us to. But if I was born and raised there, I'd want somebody to come and tell me the gospel. And so God's called us there. We do have aviation ministry, camp ministry, church planting ministry. The soul winning is a very important part of our ministry. We do a lot of door-to-door soul winning, and that's just a tremendous opportunity that we have. Now, our soul winning is a little different than your soul winning. We do have minus 30 to minus 40 weather 8 weeks in a row sometimes without any warming trend. How you doing, David? I knew this was David because I knew he was going to do this. But one of the problems we have is recognizing people. It's very difficult for several reasons. One you see here, but when you these glasses are a big problem. They ice over when you go inside a house. They don't frost over, they ice over. It takes time to get the ice off, and then after you do that, then they begin to frost over, and it's I can't see without my glasses. Another problem I have is the colder it gets, the faster my nose drips. And I can tell the temperature by the drip of my nose. But it costs about $1,200 if you're going to go out minus 40, minus 45 degree weather. No wind. The wind is besides that. But this is how we dress. We got to wear all this. And we can go out all day in that kind of weather and climate. And thank you, David. Appreciate that. Did a good job. And so our climate is very unique. Most of the year. I'm going to show you the slides now. I understand that slides are a novelty now. but I hope you enjoy them. I'm going to do my best to narrate them. If somebody can get the lights for me. We would encourage you to visit us if you care to. I recommend coming in the winter, actually in the summer. We have mosquitoes and black flies. Last year, I honestly swallowed more black flies than any other year in my life. There wasn't one time I talked to somebody about the Lord outside where I did not swallow a black fly. And literally got to the point where I couldn't talk to folks outside. I could, you could just tell that they did not appreciate having just standing there talking. And we really had to do all our work inside the houses and inside buildings, away from those bugs. So the winter time is almost a better time to come up. And we can loan you our clothing too. We can do that. And we have had folks to come and visit us on occasion. And we don't singing about the special music tonight and all the singing. And Mrs. Griffin, the organ, the piano. And, that's one thing we miss in remote parts where we are. There is no special music other than my great voice, and which isn't great. And my wife and my kids will do this. We are the special music. We miss the music. And the godly music that we heard tonight is the music to our ear, something we don't have. Where we are, and there's so many things that you have that you probably don't appreciate like you ought to. And everything you have here at Faith Baptist Church, your preacher, your buildings, your people, your ministries, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful for what God has given you here. John chapter 3, verse 16 this evening in our Bibles tonight. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And I know what you're saying. You've heard this verse before. But this is one of the greatest missionary verses in all the Bible. And it is my favorite verse in the Bible. And it has very special meaning to me as a result of what I've seen in northern Canada. John chapter 3, verse 16. I'll read this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my, what a precious verse that is. Let's pray and then I'll get into the message. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Father, for verses like John chapter 3 and verse 16 that have meant so much to many of us in this room tonight. And Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts in a special way through Your Word tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the dedicated folks that have come tonight in the middle of the week and to be in a service like this. Lord, I pray that You'd be with Pastor Angel and others that are with him. Bless their time in Russia. Bless the ministry here, Father. Continue to help it flourish. And just bless these dear folks and help them to know how much we appreciate and are thankful for them tonight and in the part they've had in our work. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3, verse 16. You saw Derek and Daryl in those slides tonight. We tried to win them to Christ the first week that we had ever, we lived in Churchill. This would have been December of 1986. Very first week. They were walking down the alley, and they were, I believe, 16 at the time. And I tried to just be friendly with them, and I tried to invite them in my house. And as soon as I began to talk with them, they ran. And that's the typical reaction that I do receive from Native people. The Indian people, particularly the Eskimo people, are a bit more friendly, very much more friendly, very sociable people. But the Indian people are very hard, and they do not want to be seen with you in the presence of other Indian people. And so Derek and Dale, they ran. And this went on for a whole year. And one day I knocked on Derek and Daryl's door, and I don't remember if it was Derek or Daryl, but one of them said, "Could your wife give me a haircut?" I mean, that's an unusual question to be asked. Have anybody ever been asked that question when you go door to door in Bourbonnais? Probably not. They said, "You know, can your wife give me a haircut?" And I said, "Sure." You know, my wife will do anything to help folks, you know, and she will. She's a trooper, and I thank the Lord for a godly missionary wife. And so my wife cut their hair. Next time I saw Derek and Daryl on the street, they crossed the street. They didn't want to talk to me again. And this went on for a year. And then at Christmas time, we were passing out Bible verses in picture frames. And one of the verses was John chapter 3 and verse 16. And that verse was there with us. And Derek said, "Could I have one of those Bible verses to take home to my grandmother to give that verse to her for Christmas?" And that verse is John 3:16. I said, "Derek, sure. Take this, and if you need more, take them." And their grandmother was a drunkard. They lived right behind me. I'd seen almost nightly, Derek and Daryl would carry their grandmother up the steps into the home. She was so drunk she couldn't walk. And their own mother lived in the town and totally disowned those two boys. And but Derek took John 3:16 home. And I said, "Derek, by the way, we have a youth activity every Friday night in our house. And I want you to come. Now, we had a youth activity every Friday night in my house, but nobody ever come except my own kids. But we had it. And you have to have that attitude or you're not going to last long in northern Canada, let me tell you. They came that Friday night. And I said to myself, Derek and Daryl are not leaving this house until they hear the gospel. They're not leaving. We're locking the doors. They're not leaving. And I wanted to say they're not leaving until they get saved. I can't do that. But I can say they're not leaving until they hear the gospel. And so they got saved. Both of them got saved that night. And they later on got baptized, and they've grown in the Lord. John 3:16, where that all started with them. You know, God loves us. God loves the lost. I've seen God use John 3:16 so many times with lost people. Archie, you remember Archie now in that little cabin there? You know, we were, like I said, 80 miles north now. These trails have all these cutoffs, and the Indian people, they know the land like the back of their hand. I don't know the land. I don't get out there that much. And one of the things I get worried about is when we get that far north, if something happens to Artsy, I'm not coming home. I wouldn't know how to get home. And so I'm always we appreciate your prayer. We need prayer for your safety, as well as seeing folks saved and the challenges that we do face. But I went in, we got up there, and I went in, it's a very small bed, and I ducked in to get in the doorway. I sat at the table, Archie was starting a fire in his stove, and I looked up, and on the inside, above the door, was John chapter 3, in verse 16. He'd received that verse in the mail, and I guess he decided, oh, that'd go perfect in my cabin, way up north, and so I couldn't believe it. And we were cold, and we're going to warm up before we actually hunted. I'm not a hunter. I'm glad I'm not. I would never, it'd be hard to be a missionary if I was a big hunter. But I can prove to you I'm not a hunter. Caribou, the only thing I can shoot. They travel in herds of hundreds. And so I don't know which one I'm shooting at. I just sort of point the gun, and one of them will drop every time. And I can only shoot caribou because of that reason. I'm not a hunter. And Archie, I'd hate to think what he thought. But for 1 hour, I was able to open my Bible. And we went through John 3:16. We went to the Romans Road. We looked at many other Bible stories, Bible verses. We talked about how to be saved. Archie, would you like to be saved? And I knew Archie wouldn't. If they asked you to go hunting, that's guaranteed. They're searching and they're just trying to get the courage up to learn how to be saved. And Archie didn't get saved that day, but John 3:16 started the whole thing. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 8, because I don't care how simple John 3:16 may be. I asked Archie, I said, Archie, do you know what that Bible verse means? He said, well, not really, not really. And that would be a very typical common answer of a lost person. I mean, it's tremendous meaning for us that are saved and know our Bibles and heard preaching on John 3:16. But, you know, it's another story for somebody who's lost and never even owned a Bible and so forth. And so I said, R.C., do you know what John 3:16 means? He says, not really. And that reminds me of something I've read before in Acts chapter 8. And the background behind Acts chapter 8 is the believers are beginning to get scattered because of persecution. And you know, that's how this world is reached, is Christians, as God calls believers to the mission field and missionary work, as we scatter. That's when people begin to get saved around the world. We've got to scatter. If God calls you and touches your heart to be a missionary and to scatter to some far-fetched part of this world, you better go. Because that's how folks get saved. They need somebody to help them understand the Scriptures and work with them. And so anyway, Acts chapter 8, I'm going to begin at verse 26. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch here. An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And has the Lord ever, in a small, still voice, not audible, but has the Lord ever, Holy Spirit of God, ever spoken to your heart and said, you need to witness to that person? Sure, if you've been saved at all, very long at all, sure, you know what that's like. You can identify here with Philip. That happens to me quite frequently. And sometimes I want to argue with the Lord and say, I don't have time, and give the Lord all the excuses. But when God speaks to our hearts about specifically talking to somebody about the gospel, we better move. We better move on it. And and that's just the way it is. I remember the very last year we were in Yellowknife. We had teen soul winning on Saturday, and all the teenagers, I dropped off, and two by two, and I was by myself that particular day. And I don't normally do door-to-door soul winning by myself, but there was one street, it was like the Lord was saying, you better knock doors on that street. And I don't normally do door-to-door soul winning by myself, but I was impressed upon, I just felt impressed to do that day. And so I began to knock on the doors, and a couple of people weren't home. One person had a vicious dog. I don't like dogs. I'm afraid of dogs. I've been bit three times. I skip doors that have dogs in the yard. I'm a chicken. I just am. But after that house that had that scary dog, I knocked on this the next door, and a middle-aged lady came to the door, and she said this, how did you know to knock on my door? She, that morning, was looking in the phone book, and it says Yellowknife, and she was trying to decide what church to go to on Sunday the very next day. It so happens that her whole family was saved except her. She'd been running for 40 years away from God, and due to whatever in her life, and she, at that moment, was ready to face her sin and to deal with her sin and all that. And she says, how did you know to come by my door? And I said, I don't know. I said, it's just, I'm here. And so I actually came back with Carla, and we got in her home. She got saved. She got baptized the next day. She became a part of Central Arctic Baptist Church. And that was a time, and it's like so many times, it just seemed like the Lord said, you better go there. You better speak with that person. And this is what Philip's doing here. Verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. He was reading the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? That's the question I asked Archie. Do you understand? Do you know what John 3:16 means? In verse 31, and he said, the lost man here, Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. How can I, except some man should guide me? I'll tell you what, that ought to touch your heart tonight. If you are a believer, if you have any passion for souls at all, that this story and that little phrase right there I had to touch your heart. How can I except some man should guide me? That is what motivates us on the mission field. And in the small little villages we go to, And sometimes it takes us more time to prepare and to get ready and to go and to come back and to secure. Sometimes it takes us more time to do the whole thing than it does at the time that we're actually there in a village, if it's the middle of the winter time. But we understand from the Scripture that there are lost people that are crying out, how can I unless some man should guide me? Should guide me. And so, we go. We go. Now, I want you to take that now. We're going to Romans chapter 10. We're just going to build on what we've looked at so far. Romans chapter 10 now. And we're going to turn to a familiar verse, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, which we all know from the Romans Road. I use this verse a lot. I love Romans 10, 13. But we're going to look beyond verse 13 this evening, starting Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I'll tell you what. When a lost person knows they're lost, on their way to hell, and they believe and they understand the Scripture, and they trust on the Christ, they get saved. They get saved. And, you know, my heart was so touched last month with my dad. I don't know if you got to read that letter or whatever, but my dad passed away on June 26th, just last month. And I got to do the memorial service for my father. My dad got saved over 50 years ago. But as I talked about this in the memorial service, we watched my dad. My mom and I were with my dad the last 7 days, except for my wife stayed at night. But my mom and I were there during the day and late evening, early morning. And as we watched my dad take his last breath, I told Parkway Baptist Church, Pastor Kirk Beard. That's where my parents attend. That's where the memorial service was. I told the church folks there. We had many family members there. And I said the best gift that my dad could ever give me as a son was I didn't have to wonder if my dad was saved. He not only trusted Christ as his Savior, but he lived the Christian life. He was dedicated to Christ. He never missed a service. He lived for God. There was not a shadow of a doubt that my dad was a believer, a Christian, born again. And I'm thankful for that. So thankful. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Remember Acts chapter 8 there? How can I, lest some man should guide me? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It's the job of the lost, folks, to put their faith and trust in Christ. It's the job of the believer, the Christian, to obey Christ in going and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about obedience for us. And there's been many times through the years that I've questioned the Lord about my calling, about going to Northern Canada, about going to these remote places, going to these small populations. But the Lord seems to always come back to me and say, through the Word of God, you need to obey. You need to obey. You need to go. You need to obey. You need to preach the gospel. And so, that's what we try to do with God's help. Now, we couldn't go unless we were sent. Unless we were sent. And if you remember the team, the dog team, it takes churches that will send missionaries. And I believe you have missionaries in your church on you that you send out. You are the sending church. And that's being obedient as a local church. And then missionaries must be supported by local churches. And When you support a missionary like myself or brother over here or the other missionaries, you're being obedient. And it takes a team effort. A missionary cannot do missionary work by himself. It takes churches that will pray, and that will give, and that will send. And we need to be obedient. You know, not all churches are obedient in this area. I have a church right now. I just received a letter 2 weeks ago. They're disbanding. Fundamental Independent Baptist Church, the letter read, I got it 2 weeks ago, said we're selling our property. If there's any money left over after we pay debts and everything else, it'll be distributed to missionaries and so forth. There's a church that's not going to be able to obey the Great Commission. The church I grew up in. I remember in Uranium City one day I got the mail, we opened the mail, and in the envelope was a check for $5,000. And at first I was excited about it. And I get excited if it's a dollar. 50 cents. $5,000. But then I read the letter. And that's a $5,000 check I wish I never had received. Church I grew up in, was married in, learned to win souls in, had a bus route in, was baptized in. I was saved before we actually went to that church. But a lot of memories in that church. And the letter said, because of this, that, and the other thing, the church is disbanding, selling the property, selling the buildings, distributing the money. You see, and by the way, church I grew up in was about three times the size of this church right here. Had one of the best bus ministries I've ever seen. There wasn't a bus that ran under 45 every Sunday in attendance. Adults were getting saved. Sunday school teachers could teach the Word of God. I mean, it was a strong church. But strong churches aren't exempt from the attacks of Satan. And this happens, and we better be obedient. We better be obedient no matter what the cost. I'll end here. Romans chapter 5. Just back up a little bit. And we see in Romans 5 how important obedience is. How important obedience is. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And we understand the impact of the lack of obedience. You think about Adam for a second. Adam chose to disobey the one command that God had given him, to not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam disobeyed God. And because we read now in verse chapter 5, verse 12, just to go back, verse 12, wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we read verse 12 there, and because of the disobedience of one man. My, the impact and the effect of Adam's disobedience on generation after generation after generation. We're born with a sin nature because of the lack of obedience of Adam. But then, in verse 19, we see the impact of obedience. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would. And we see the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to begin with verse number 5. And it was, think about it now, the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ to His Heavenly Father, that we have salvation available to us. Ephesians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name. And so we see the lack of obedience and the tremendous impact because of Adam And now we see the incredible impact when of the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's take that to us tonight. Your obedience or lack of obedience, don't think for a second that you're just affecting yourself. You affect those that know you. Those of you, they affect those that know you in your church. They affect your family. They affect your neighbors. If you choose to be disobedient to God, lost folks will never hear the gospel. But when we're obedient, God can use us. And, I'm so thankful of folks in my life, Christians in my life through the years that were obedient and had such a great impact on helping me grow as a believer and as a Christian. And so tonight, let me ask you a question. Not everybody in fundamental independent Baptist churches go soul winning. Not everybody in churches like Faith Baptist Church has actually won a soul to Christ. Not everybody has. Many, many of you have. But I would dare say there's some of you tonight that probably, for whatever reason, have never won a soul to Christ. Let me challenge you tonight. If you've never won a soul to Christ, folks get saved when they hear the gospel, presented the gospel, have opportunity to put their faith and trust in Christ. And you need to say, if you've never won a soul to Christ, you need to say, you know, I am, my goal this year is to start winning somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, I understand it's not easy. I understand that. And it can be a very scary thing if you've never done it before. I'm thankful that as a teenager, that's when I was taught how to learn, lead folks to Christ. When you're a teenager, you're not afraid of anything. I'm afraid of everything today. And I don't know what I'd do if I had to start winning somebody to Christ for the first time at my age. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful that a youth director taught me, went with me, taught me how to lead somebody to Christ. And so, how can I, unless some man should show me? If you're a believer tonight, you ought to be showing somebody how to be saved. You need to do that. As a church body, you as a church body need to be obedient in the Great Commission. Sending out missionaries, praying for missionaries, reaching the gospel, reaching the world with the gospel. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we need your help. Father, I'd ask that especially tonight, you would speak to that soul tonight that is saved, they've been baptized, perhaps a member of this church, maybe even involved in ministries of this church, but have never won a soul to Christ. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon those tonight to be diligent, to prepare themselves, be willing to let somebody help them, and they would be willing to tell somebody, help somebody understand a verse like John 3:16 and help folks how to be saved. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking. I wonder tonight, maybe for some reason you've come tonight, maybe you're a visitor, I don't know, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you heard John 3:16 yourself, but really don't understand it, and you don't understand the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight, we'll have a brief invitation. And in a moment, we'll be standing with our heads bowed. The pianists are going to play a verse or two of an invitation hymn. And if you're not saved, you meet the brother in front here and just say, hey, I'm not saved. I want to be saved tonight. So would somebody show me how to be saved? Christian, is there one tonight? Maybe two, maybe more. You've never won a soul to Christ. But you say, tonight my decision is I am going to help somebody understand how to be saved. Take the Bible, show folks how to be saved. And you want to your goal. Maybe just lead one soul to Christ this year. Just start. Maybe that's your goal. And maybe that's a decision you make tonight. Church body. You need to examine your dedication in fulfilling the Great Commission. And that may mean different things to different folks tonight. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.